pointing to my.
Oh, I have to wait for the recording, the taping.
You're good to go.
Okay. I call the Planning Commission meeting for June 17th to order. Roll call, please.
Planning Commissioner Kerja.
Here.
Planning Commissioner Marks.
Here.
Planning Commissioner Veers is absent. Vice Chair Benedetti.
Here.
Chair Wallace is absent. Thank you.
Thank you. Pledge of Allegiance. Shanae, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, item four is public comments or written communication at this time. Those in the audience are encouraged to address the Planning Commission on any item not already included in tonight's agenda. If possible, comments should not exceed 5 minutes. And if you have a comment, you can fill out a green card. Do we have any comments?
We have none tonight.
Okay. Item five, additions or revisions?
We have no additions or revisions for tonight.
The only thing is that we will hear items 9.1 and 9.2 together, right?
Yes, I'll explain that when we get to
okay.
that point in the calendar. Thank you.
Consent agenda. 6.1, minutes from the May 20th, 2014 meeting. Any comments?
I move approval of the minutes.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and approved? Moved and seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sorry. I was supposed to say that. Thank you, Debbie. all those, everyone voted aye, so, and no opposed. Item seven, continued items after closing of public hearing. We have none. Item eight, continued items, open public hearing. We have none. Item nine, public hearing, new items. 9.1 and 9.2 are the development agreement amendments for the Chevron Park is 9.1 and 9.2 is the development agreement amendment. The eighth amendment to the Bishop Ranch annexation and development agreement buying between Sunset Development Company and the City of San Ramon. And we'll have staff report for both those items by Debbie Chamberlain, Division Manager.
Thank you, Vice Chair and members of the Commission. We will hear these items together. Essentially, the development agreements are identical in nature and do apply to the same project. So as we have with City Center in the past, we link these two items together, but I will be asking for separate motions and votes at the conclusion. Essentially, the project applicant, Sunset Development, is requesting approval of an amended development agreement for the property sold to the Bishop Ranch and Chevron Park. The purpose of the agreements is to incorporate the terms from the Memorandum of Understanding entered into in October of last year. This memorandum memorializes the city's and Bishop Ranch's intent to build the 45,000 square foot city hall. As we have modified the city center entitlements to replace the civic uses contemplated for Bishop Ranch 1B, with the exception of the transit center, with up to 110,000 square feet of permitted office and medical, retiring the outstanding loan balance, and the owners of Sunset have agreed to design, build, and deliver a new city hall within Central Park at an approximate cost of $14.8 million that has now been adjusted for inflation to about a little over $15 million, which is noted in the development agreements before you tonight and the resolutions, and to remove a little over 50,000 square feet of office flex space from the Bishop Ranch 3A parcel, which is on the north side of the city center project. And both agreements do confirm the term will expire on December 31st of 2020, which is consistent with the past amendments. It's just a confirmation of that expiration date. And before you on the dais, both agreements are amended, specifically amendment number 8 on the Bishop Ranch development agreement, which relates to the northern portion of City Center where the retail development will occur, has been amended to eliminate section 4, amendments of project approvals, which is that minor amendment section. So that's been removed. And both development agreements have been updated to reflect the current construction cost of the project. So with that, we recommend you open the public hearing, take testimony, close, discuss, deliberate, and if appropriate, adopt the resolutions before you recommend approval to the City Council.
Do any of my fellow commissioners have any questions of staff before I open the public hearing?
Debbie, this process isn't any different than what we have done in the past, correct?
No, it is not. It's identical to the same. Okay. Essentially, what Bishop Burnt has done over the years since 1987 when the property was annexed into the city is they will request development agreements with the city for each phase or change to Bishop Ranch just to memorialize and to lock in those entitlements. So this is number 8 for the Bishop Ranch 2A and 3A side, and then the portion of Chevron Park that relates the Bishop Ranch is number 6, but it's consistent with what we have done in the past.
Okay.
Okay, I'd like to open the public hearing on these two items. Any comments from the public? Does the applicant want to make any comments? Okay. If seeing nobody have any comments, I want to close the public comment section. Any other comments or discussion from our fellow commissioners?
Can I just say that I feel very comfortable since, in fact, this is everything that we have done before. There is nothing different about it. It's kind of like standard operating procedures when we're discussing this. So I feel very comfortable in approving this and make the motion.
We'll need
want
two separate,
each one separate,
separately,
correct?
Thank you, yes.
Okay.
So let's go with the resolution number 7-14 first.
All right. 7 or 6?
7.
Okay. I'm not ready. Okay. Yeah. I move approval of resolution 7-14, recommending approval of the Sixth Amendment to that portion of the Chevron Park Annexation and Development Agreement by and between Sunset Building Company, LLC, and the City of San Ramon, assigned to and assumed by Sunset Building Company, LLC, relative to the City Center project.
As amended?
As amended.
I'll second that.
It's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Next is would be for 9.1. 9.2. Excuse me.
Madam Chair, I'll move resolution 08-14, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of San Ramon recommending approval of the Eighth Amendment to Annexation and Development Agreement by and between the City of San Ramon and Sunset Development Company, Granada Sales, Inc., SDC 7, Annabelle Investment Company, Sunset Land Company, LLC, and Alexander Properties Company, relative to the development known as Bishop Ranch.
I second.
And that would be as amended?
As amended, yes.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Silence is assent.
Okay. That takes us to item 9.3, and thank you, staff, for your input, and thank you, Sunset Development. Item 9.3 is AT&T Wireless Facility at Ryan Industrial Court. Staff report is by Shanae.
Good evening, Vice Chair Benedetti and Planning Commissions and public. The applications before you are for the AT&T wireless facility, a brand new facility at the 115 Ryan Industrial Court, and property owned by San Ramon Valley Bible Church. And the staff recommends that the Planning Commission receive the staff report, open the public hearing, take public testimony, close the public hearing, discuss and deliberate, and if appropriate, adopt the Planning Commission Resolution 6-14, approving an application development plan amendment, land use permit, and architectural review application numbers as shown on the staff report. And before I summarize the project on the PowerPoint presentation, staff prepared revised resolution on your dais as a late communication item in order to clarify a few items. On the first page, staff added the citation clarifying the Architectural Review Board's recommendation and how the originally proposed 60-foot tall tree tower became 66 feet tall. And also in the conditions of approval on page 3, item 17 was added to clarify that the city has the ability to ask the project proponent to maintain the tree tower in a certain condition for as long as they operate. So that's the newly added items, just to clarify the intent of this resolution. So with that, I'd like to open up the PowerPoint presentation. Wow, this is a lot smaller than I thought. So from this far, I hope you can see it. This is an aerial photograph of Ryan Industrial Court. Project location is here, and at the tip of the arrow, right next to the Home Depot. And it is basically surrounded by non-residential development, but residential developments are to the north and the west. And in this slide shows the recently approved townhome developments to the north that they are at the end of the Ryan Industrial Court. This is a map of the network system or points that applicants submitted, and the red point here, right here, is the subject location in Ryan Industrial Court, and they have several the facilities throughout in the city of San Ramon, and the staff verified those points with existing map that the city staff maintains, and they are consistent. And then proposed facility here is to improve the coverage in this area. And this is the coverage map, existing coverage map, and blue indicates that the coverage available for outside of any buildings, and the yellow indicates the somewhere in between. The green means that coverage for the inside of the building. And with the proposed facility being constructed, hopefully, then they can improve the coverage to this much. So if you see them in the side by side, this is existing to the left, and this is a proposed to the right. So once again, here's aerial photographs of the project site. And in order for the applicant to determine this location, they looked into four other alternative locations. The first one was at 125 Ryan Industrial Court. And then several years ago, AT&T secured a land use permit to install the new facility on top of the building. However, the property was sold for for the Acre Townhome project, so the facility was not built. And then they also looked at the 2700 Old Crow Canyon Road, but applicant indicated that property does not have enough space because it's so close to the creek corridor. And the third location was 2500 Old Crow Canyon, Crow Canyon Court, I'm sorry. And that this property toward the northwest corner here is somewhere that they were thinking about. And but this is so close to the residential properties. So staff told them to rethink that. Then in addition, they looked into the across the street from the church, 110 Ryan Industrial Court, but applicant and AT&T was unable to secure the agreement term with the property owner. So they stopped seeking that and then chose the current property for the project. In terms of the elevation difference from the current location, this is about 525 feet above sea level at the church. And then proposed acre townhome at the lower end is about 25 to 26 feet taller or higher than the church elevation. And then back of the acre townhome is even further higher by 25 feet, total of 50 feet higher than the church elevation, floor elevation. And then another existing housing development or condo to the just north of the Home Depot is about 75 to 85 feet higher than the church.
Okay. Can I ask now?
You may, but let me finish this
All
one.
Right.
Okay. So this is a site plan submitted by the applicant, and this purple is the church building, and this green circle indicates the proposed tree tower behind the church. So if you look at this from zoom in on the site plan, and this rectangular indicates the proposed enclosure in the circle here is the location of the tree tower. And this is the overview of the tree tower and antenna installation location, about 50 feet, 53 feet above grade. And it's rather difficult to see what's going to happen. So here's the elevation the applicant provided. And this is the elevation looking as if from the Home Depot side. And this is the proposed enclosure behind the slope and amongst the existing trees here and there. So this is the existing condition behind the church. And this is the area that they are proposing to have the equipment enclosure and tower be installed somewhere in this area like that. So if you look at the whole facility from the Ryan Industrial Court or front of the church, you would not be able to see the base of the enclosure or tower itself because it's completely hidden behind the building. So how does this relate to the recently approved acre town home? And I can show you how that would work. So shrink this elevation. And here's the site plan of the Ryan Industrial Court, church building, and proposed tower, tree tower. And this is the elevation of it. And this is the approved acre townhome site plan. And then this is the cross section of that townhome. And this is generally on the same slope coming down, gentle slope coming down. So here is the top of the antenna location. And that is going to be approximately same height as the top floor of the first building, which is about 250 feet away from the proposed tower. So with that, and as I said earlier, the acre townhome elevations are 25, 50 feet higher than the church elevation, and then other residential developments are even higher than acre townhomes. So the proposed tree tower would be below the residence eye level or horizon. So the tree would most likely be perceived in the mid-ground rather than in front of their face. So here's a photograph of the project site, the church, looking from the end of the Ryan Industrial Court. And this is a photo simulation provided by the applicant. And here is a proposed tree tower. It seems to fit in existing landscaping. And here's another view, looking at the church from a little bit lower part of the Ryan Industrial Court. And once again, provided photo simulation. And then tower or tree tower seem to blend in. And the view from the Home Depot parking lot, and because of the existing trees, tower would not be clearly visible. And here's another view from the Home Depot, but this is way behind the nursery and loading area, and no public, or hardly any public, would go that far. So here's a proposed tree. But if you look at this tree and very closely, these are the antennas. And they are willing to put colors on or little fuzzy things on to blend in with the proposed tree so that they would disappear in the tree. Even though it's big, if you stand up there, you probably would know that that is not a real tree, but it's well designed. Right now in the city of San Ramon, one tree tower exists on Ashworth property. Can you tell which one that is?
I know which one it is.
That is the one.
I know.
That is the one. But that was built 20-some years ago. Mm-hmm. And then also this property is well vegetated, and hardly anybody knows about it because you can't see. So since then, and this is what's proposed, so technology has improved, and you know, the staff resisted on four trees for many years, and then this seems to be very appropriate. And also we have sample materials in here, and also we have an applicant here, and also AT&T representative, and so if you have any questions.
Well, we'll start with, do any of my fellow commissioners have any questions of staff?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. We know how excited Commissioner Kerger is about this tree. I have been biting at the bit for a tree antenna for eons, actually years, and I think this is good. But we also know that Commissioner Kerger is technically challenged when it comes to the devices, and I'm assuming, Chenier,
yes,
that the reason for the height difference is because, in layman's term, acres is too high and it needs to be higher in order to get the elevation it needs for reception. Is that the reason?
No.
Okay, good. So tell me why.
The reason of the...
In layman's terms.
Okay. The first proposal of this tree was kept at 60 feet tall because of the height requirement. That was the maximum height allowable. So that the photo simulation showed like a tree coming up, and then top was a flat top, and it did not look as if a natural looking pine tree. So that architecture review board suggested to add a few more branches on top of it to make it look
real
without increasing the elevation height elevation of the antenna themselves. And then planning commissioners have the ability to approve the higher tower. Okay. Than what's been suggested. In
the other question I have is about the equipment at the base and how protected it is, because I want to make sure that there's the church. It's behind the church, so it's caged in, right? I mean, it's protected so that children or anybody walking in the area can't mess around with it.
I would assume that the enclosure itself would be gated and locked up.
So maybe when you come up, we can discuss that. But that is my health and safety is again a concern, and the aesthetics is like a yahoo, because I think that we need trees. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Mark?
Thank you. I'm not sure if my questions, Signe, are appropriate to you or to the applicant. So I'll ask them, and if they're inappropriate to you, just hand them off. I was at the site today, and I went behind the building and looked it over, and I have to say the photograph that was shown where it indicated a vacant cement pad, that's not the case now. There is a large trailer there. There are two large trailers, actually. One that says Holloway, and then right next to it, something that's totally enclosed. So we're talking about the back end, closest to the elevated parking area where this is going. And I don't have a problem with that, and I don't have any concerns about the tree, the faux tree design or anything like that. But I am curious about, there are 10 windows on the back of the elevation. There are six at the second floor and four at the ground floor. It appears as though this is going to block those, which if the church is willing to go along with, that's fine. But there are also two doors. One looks like a loading door and one looks like it could be an exit door. And I'm wondering if the structure is going to block the exit door, and if the chief building official in the city has reviewed that and has any exiting comments.
That would be a great question to ask the applicant. I can't answer that.
So. Sure. Can we ask the applicant to respond?
I was actually going to ask the applicant if they had some words and come up. So if you can hold off for just a second.
Okay.
Through the chair, I can respond to part of Commissioner Marcus' question regarding the building official's review. As with any application that's filed with the city, it goes through our development review committee, which Building and Safety is a member of, and they provide the necessary comments to ensure they're incorporated into the application. At the time of issuance of the building permit, the tree will have to be located appropriately to ensure that there are no exiting issues whatsoever. So that's really per the building code, but the building official is involved from the first day the application is filed in the review of it.
And so if there is any blockage, then the enclosure would have doors that would allow passage through it, I would assume.
I'm not sure what the solution would be, but it would have to conform with the building code. I don't know the detail. I'm not the building official, but I just know in general our process that every city department is included at the first step to ensure if there are conflicts, we address those at the beginning and make sure the applicant is well aware of those.
Okay. Another question I have is the area that is behind the church, there is a sidewalk and then there is a sloped area, and I'm not sure what the grade differential is, but on the plan it talks about a concrete slope I forget what the term was that you used, but could you address that when you come up, how you intend to handle that and any drainage issues that result from that? Those are my questions. Thank you.
Shanae, I do have a question. The enclosure that's in the back of the church, is there a setback from the property line, Or is it, because it's hard to tell by the drawings.
There is it right? Approximately 3 or 5 feet setback, and that is appropriate.
Okay, so the fence, the enclosure that's around the equipment is setback from the property line. It's just hard to tell by these drawings.
Yes, it is hard to see, but I checked the setback.
Okay.
And I found no problem okay. with what they have proposed.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any further questions? Would the applicant like to come up? I have a card from a Pete Shubin. Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Chair, Lady and gentlemen of the commission. I'm Pete Shubin. I'm with Sequoia Deployment Services here tonight representing AT&T Mobility. If you'd like, I could jump directly into answering questions. Staff did a great job of describing the project. Would that be appropriate? Okay. Commissioner Kerger, I'm glad you think it's a good tree. We did work hard with the ARB. We did work hard with staff to come up with not only different branch samples, coloring, shape of the tree, conditions that have been used successfully in other jurisdictions to make sure that we as an applicant and as an industry maintain what we tell you we're going to maintain and maintain the longevity of the tree. So a lot of thought went into that, and that was part of the change as was discussed by staff with the increase in height to keep that natural shape by keeping the antennas down in a thicker part of the tree. And then visually, if you look at it, you just see the branching. You don't see the antennas because there's approximately 12 feet of branching above the antenna. So a good amount that's more than double what you typically see on a monopine if it was just a standard off-the-shelf pine.
What's the life expectancy of that product?
It's indefinite, and why I say indefinite is when we started doing these fake trees in the mid-90s, the color fastness, the UV effects on the branching materials was really an unknown. It was really a new application, and they didn't last very well. And the industry spent a lot of time and effort putting thought into how the branches would be maintained, not just there, but their color fastness with UV protections, maintaining that the branches would stay together in wind events. And the engineering has gotten a lot better. And the trees that I have, a tree on a church property that I attend, and it's been there since 2001, and it's still the same color. The branches are still full. It's still what we would say a good tree. Most people don't notice it's there. So in that time period, over that time, it's even gotten and even better to where we could say indefinitely, but at the same time, because you're looking for a date, we're willing to accept conditions that say we will maintain it upon review by the city. And when the city says, look, you have to fix it, there's a problem with it, we'll go out with the city and we'll remedy the problem.
Is it a one piece, Mr. Shubin? Is it's not like my Christmas tree that I have in my living room around the holidays where you stick the branch in the hole?
No, it's not. It's actually the a pole like this one of this height, the tree trunk, if we want to use those terms itself, mm-hmm. would come in two pieces, and they'll slip together, and they're steel tube, and they're tapered tube, so it's a compression fit when it slips together, and then there's a bunch of what we call branch receivers, which are pipes that are welded to it on the angles and the locations where we want branches, and then there's different size branches that go into those receivers. And if you look at the conditions even discuss, you know, the branching will be put in such a way to appear as a natural tree, because on a natural tree, you don't have all the same size branches here and a little narrower here and a little narrower here. You have a few long ones, some short ones, and they generally get shorter. So we could arrange the branching by putting it on the tree to come up with a certain look that's desirable for that location?
You know that I'm asking you this question not for me, but for the public, and should anyone else want to hear how it's put together so people understand that it's not like a Christmas tree.
Nope.
Thank you.
There was some questions regarding the equipment protection. We have an 8-foot block enclosure with a full height gate around the equipment. Then if you were to get in, all the equipment itself is secure, meaning so it is locked. So the gate is locked on the outside. If somebody was able to get in, all the equipment is locked and secure. There are times where we leave it out. It's secure enough as it sits there to leave it out in the open without an enclosure, but we have the enclosure and the equipment itself is locked so no one could get inside of it.
And it's maintained on a regular schedule, and also there has to be some kind of warning should something go off?
Yes, there is.
Like most of them?
The facility itself is remote alarmed, meaning if there is a problem at the facility, what we call our NOC, the Network Operations Center, gets a signal that says something's wrong with the site, and they'll dispatch a technician to go see what that is. Also, if there's something that goes on there, oftentimes you'll be someplace, something will go over the fence. Somebody needs to get out. There's a phone number that's on the gate that they could call, and they could get hold of the Network Operations Center and dispatch a tech to the site to take care of that. So it's both both passive and active protection of the facility.
What's the closest tree that you have put to San Ramon? Where is the closest one? That you have put up. I mean, is this in San Ramon is your first one, correct?
Yeah, I do not believe the existing tree is an AT&T tree.
No.
And I don't have that information with where the next tree is. This one is a rather unique tree in that the coloring was matched to the trees that are there. The shape of it was changed based on ARB conditions to add the additional branching up top. So I don't have one in my mind. I said, you could go to this address and see that tree. It's more of a collection of various pieces and parts.
Thank you.
Commissioner Marks, you had some questions regarding the trailer on the pad to the south. I took that picture that's up right now, and there was a container of some sort there. I didn't understand your question with regard to concerns about the container being there.
I was just noting that it was there.
Oh, okay.
But you're creating a fairly tight...
You're creating a fairly tight space back there, which, again, I think is fine. My main concern had to do with exiting, which the staff took care of. But I also, you mentioned a proposed AT&T concrete swale, and I wanted you to just discuss that a little bit, especially relative to drainage.
If you take a look at the picture that's there right now, that walkway and that curb will be maintained. So that path will not be impacted by the enclosure. And the branching on the monopine, its lowest point is at 12 feet, so well above any exit from the building. So that path of travel will be maintained, the existing path of travel. With regard to the concrete swale, it's just to take any water that would come down behind the slope and disperse the energy around into the existing drainage system that's back, and it's just the surface flow out and around the building. So any moisture right now that would come off the hill just comes down to it and then it comes around. So that the existing conditions, we won't have any off-site flow or we won't be damming up any water. That's the purpose of the swale. Did that answer? Thank you. Were there any other questions?
Yes, I do have a question. In the staff report, it talked about an EBI consulting report that was done for RF exposure.
Yes.
But that wasn't included in our staff report, so I couldn't look at that. And my question really is just if you could just discuss a little bit in regards to the difference between RF impact to receptors that are at the same elevation versus receptors that are on the ground. I mean, my previous work here on the commission has been from antennas that are at the top of the high tension transmission towers, and this happens to be located such that, as the picture depicted, going to be at the same elevation as a residence. So what, if any, is the difference in regards to RF impact on residents?
You have the quote. We'll take the report, because that's the engineering and that's the data. We'll take that first. The city asked, and we complied with measuring at a bunch of different locations. The home, because of the changes in elevation, which I think goes to your question, the Home Depot parking lot, the nursery area, those the new condos that are going into the north, the high end of the parking lot. So what we did is, not knowing exactly where that building would be, we went to the high end of the parking lot and took a measurement. If there was a technician on the roof of the building next door, so of the church building, so immediately adjacent to the tree, what would those measurements be? And the highest measurement was the roof of the building immediately adjacent, so very close to the monopine, very close to the antenna, was 19% of what's allowed. So if somebody was on the roof, it's a fifth of what the energy that we could have come out from the site. So it complies.
Now, is it different because someone isn't living on the roof, or did the report actually, that person who is on the roof next to the monopole, is it assumed that they are residing on the roof when you do the study? Because that's different than the condo where someone actually may be living and be exposed for a different period of time.
The report addresses both the occupational, which is an allowable exposure for somebody who knows about the facility. So now, for somebody who knows how to behave around a facility, a wireless technician, somebody, a contractor working on a wireless facility, then there is a separate standard for the general public, and that is a more restrictive standard to someone who's living there, somebody who, for example, the roof, an HVAC technician who comes out at the request of the church to do, or a roofer at the, you know, they're not aware of the facility being there. So that's the general public, and that's the 19% number that's in the report that it complies with. And as you move away to from the antenna, so it's a relationship to the antenna, as you move away, even though you might be at the same height, it drops very quick. It's a formula that you double the distance, you half the power, and it just keeps going. It's an inverse relationship. So it complies, I guess, is the best way without getting into a lot of math, which is not what I'm qualified to do. I read the report and went through and looked at all those points, and it complies with both the occupational and the general public, the standard for a resident.
At all the locations that were studied?
At all the locations, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions of the applicant? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I would like to open the public comment. I've got Jan Hamill. Did I say that correctly? Did you have some comments? Can you come up to the podium, would you mind, and introduce yourself for the record? And thank you.
I'm Jan Hamill. I'm one of the owners of San Ramon Valley Dance Academy, which is right below the church. We have about almost 600 kids that are there on a daily basis. So I just wanted some assurance that there aren't any potential health risks regarding the electromagnetic radiation, all the stuff you hear about. So that's what I'm here for. Get a couple answers about on that, if possible.
Okay. Well, we just heard the applicant talk about the RF report. So did you have any, did that answer your questions? You need further explanation?
I haven't been able to read it, but I just, like I said, is this an assurance that we don't have a potential health you know, risk to all our kids?
Well, if the report is in compliance with the RF standards and below, I mean, we can't give you insurance about not getting struck by lightning tomorrow.
Okay.
So all we can do is make sure that the what's before us is in compliance with the standards that are required for installations of this sort. And so if the city staff has reviewed that report and has confirmed that it meets those standards, then that's what we rely upon.
Okay. All right. That's just what I wanted to know.
Thank you.
Sure. I think the applicant wants to follow up.
Madam Chair, if the city would find it appropriate, we would be willing to have the report amended to include a reading from the Dance Academy property at a location to be requested by Ms. Hamill. And then that way she could see that information and be assured that it complies on her property as well.
Great. Thank you very much.
Would you like that to work through the city, or would you like that
yes,
to
if work? You could work with staff on that, that'd be great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for offering that. So the next card is Ed Broom.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Ed Broom, and I'm the Director of Facilities for the church. You had mentioned the concern with the children. Obviously, we have the same concern. We're closer, obviously, in proximity, and we have been assured that it will fall within, well below the standards that are established. And how it was explained to me is it's more or less like a daisy paddle. When the signal goes out straight like a flashlight. It doesn't go down, it doesn't go around, it doesn't go up, it goes straight out. And because of that characteristic, our leadership was very comfortable with having that facility there. I do have to say that I was a much younger man when we started this process in 2011. We wore out two negotiating teams from AT&T just because we wanted the right fit for the facility. We had started with numerous building facade revisions time and time again, and it ended up that this would have the least impact and really was the kind of the highest and best use. I know that term's overused for that particular piece of our mm-hmm. parcel. To speak to the storage container, if we recall the photo on the side, you'll see the slab. There was one storage container there previously. We did add a second one, and the applicant, that was disclosed to the applicant. additionally, again, I just want to reiterate that sidewalk and the curb is our compliant path of travel, and we have made every effort to maintain that is, or ensure that that's maintained 100% of the time. And I think if you look at their construction drawing for their enclosure, that gate opens in, so at no point does it encroach on our path of travel. I say that because as I look at it from a facility management point of view, I've got 200 people at any one time. I've got to get mm-hmm. out of that building fast. And I think in our negotiations, we've never met face to face, but we've had several emails go back and forth. That's really one of our primary concerns, is to maintain that path of travel, even through construction, and maintain that once the facility is built, that, you know, it's not an attractive nuisance. There is lighting back there that does come on at dusk and go off at dawn. We are in the middle of adding closed circuit TV cameras around the perimeter, so it'll be monitored as well. So I think those concerns, we've had the same concerns. And we're very pleased with this latest design of the tree with the taper. It does fit in very well, and I think that because it does have the benefit of having the other natural trees right there, I think after the novelty wears off, so to speak, I don't even think folks will notice that it's there. So thank you.
I'd like to just say thank you for your patience, and I when I read that you were they were looking at a steeple, and when I look at your building, I couldn't envision a steeple being added to disguise a cell antenna site, and this really is, I think, a better option. And I think the ARB did a great job at with blending that tree in with the surrounding foliage that's already there. So thank you for holding off.
Thank you.
I think it's going to be best for Ryan's Court. So.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the public? Hearing none, we'll close the public comment period. Any further discussion? Comments?
If you're ready, Madam Chair, I'll offer.
I'm so ready, yes.
I would move approval of resolution number 06-14, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of San Ramon approving development plan DPA 13-310-002, land use permit LUP 13-500-002, and architectural review AR 13-200-021.
Through the chair, if I might, is that with the amended resolution before you tonight on the dais?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Good job on the tree.
Okay, item number 10, no non-public hearing action items. There are none. 11, study session commissioner liaison reports.
Nothing.
Anything? 12, adjournment.
Hold on.
Oh.
Boy, I always get forgotten. Now, I just want to let you know that we will not have a meeting on July 1st.
Okay.
So you have that week off. Happy 4th of July. We come back on July 15th with HAC interviews, and so we'll have an earlier start that night, probably 6:15, I'm guessing. Election of chair and vice chair and swearing in of Commissioner Marks and Vice Chair Benedetti again. And I think, and that, so we'll, then we'll have one appeal that night, and then August 5th we'll be bringing forth Walgreens out in Windermere.
Great.
Consideration, so, but you do have a break.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Also, just kind of a reminder about the voting for League of California Cities.
Yes.
So if you've gotten an email, please respond to it. So. Because one of our local fellow commissioners, well, they're all running unopposed.
We worked on that
so
one.
Wasn't.
Thanks for that reminder.
Yes.
We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Good job.